Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Greg Cosell joins us each and every Wednesday on the show, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Make the right move by choosing Huffaker. Visit them online, THGTN.com, or call 833-THG-NASH. Greg Cosell joins us now. Greg, always great to hear you. How are you?
Jonathan, how you doing?
Excellent. We're creeping towards the season opener, which cannot get here fast enough to talk about week one action with you, but we'll continue to go through the preseason, and we'll always start with the Titans on this. Taywan Taylor has had a very nice offseason, a good training camp, and he's followed up that training camp with nice performances in the preseason games, specifically this past week against Tampa Bay with the touchdowns. When you watch him, can you see a very noticeable difference in how this offense is utilizing his talents compared to last year?
You know, that's hard to say. I mean, you know, we saw the screen. We saw the 29-yard already caught from Gabbard was a designed concept play that you see a lot in the league, which is kind of a post and a vertical route, and it's off play action. I thought he ran the route really well with a really nice sense of pace and timing. But, you know, he hasn't been thrown to a ton, so I'd have to rely on you guys for how he's doing on a daily basis in camp. But I liked him a lot, as you guys remember, coming out of college. And I think he has a chance to be a quality starting receiver. I think that there's a lot of flexibility to his game. I think he can line up both outside and inside. You know, he struck me when I watched him in college as a guy that could be like an Emmanuel Sanders type receiver. I think he has that kind of skill set. So I like Taywan Taylor a lot, and I'll be anxious to see, because last week he didn't really play with the ones, so I don't know, you know, you guys would know better. I don't know where he stands, you know, in the overall scheme of things with the team.
One of the things over the last couple of years, and really for eternity, but particularly under Malarkey and Rubisky, those wide receiver screens were largely disasters, with the guy out there looking around, not knowing who to block, and the receiver rarely taking off. What does it tell you about the timing and how in sync the offense may be getting, that that they not only had that big play with Taylor, but then got another one later from Devin Ross, who wound up fumbling it? But more goes into that, I think, than most of us
to admit. And I think you have to be committed to it, and I think that, as we've seen, that there'll be a committed screen team, both with the conventional screens to backs and to wide receiver screens. I mean, you go back to not only what the Rams did last year, where Matt LaFleur came from, but if you go back to the Shanahan offense and think back a couple of years to watching Taylor Gabriel catch screens with the Atlanta Falcons, you know, I think that's a meaningful part of this offense. That's something that really has to be practiced. There's a timing involved. I mean, you have big offensive linemen that have to get out front, and there's all timing and as to who they block, because normally it's two or three offensive linemen that have to get out front. You have to practice that a lot. So I think that that's something that I think LaFleur clearly believes in.
Greg Cosell is with us. We still don't know the official timetable for Jack Conklin's return at right tackle. Players recover from ACLs at different paces. But Dennis Kelly is the starter until Conklin returns. And we've seen Kelly fill in at times and do just fine over the last 2 years. Is this style, is his skill set a solid fit for what they want from him or want from their right tackle?
And Greg, he got a really good review from Vrabel after this game and for his general body of work.
I thought he played well in this game, by the way. It's interesting you say that, because I was just about to say I thought he looked really good in this game. You know, it's funny, if you think again, and this is Matt LaFleur's background, so that's all you have to go on. He's a younger coach. He hasn't been in a league for 30 years. But, I mean, you look at what the Rams had last year with Rob Havenstein. He's a big 6'7 tackle who came out of Wisconsin. And you look at Dennis Kelly, who's, what, 6'7", 6'8". You know, you saw him pull on an outside run. You saw him lead on the 47-yard touchdown to Taylor. He shows sort of deceptive mobility. I was watching him carefully with his kick slides and pass protection. I think his knee bend for a big man is pretty good. I think his functional hand usage is good. What I really liked about him is I thought he showed excellent awareness of potential stunts based on the defensive front alignment, because there are certain alignments where tackles have to be aware that a stunt could be coming. Now, I think for a man his size, he's not as naturally powerful as you might expect as a run blocker. He's certainly not weak, but I don't think he's one of those guys that just grinds people and moves people, but I think he's more than functional to play right tackle on this offense.
We were eager to watch Lawan against Jason Pierre-Paul because of the matchup we had watched in the joint practices. What did you see from the game?
Boy, Lawan's a quiet little wallflower kind of guy, isn't he?
Sure is.
Boy, that first play of the game, he was trying to set that physical tempo. He had the combo block on Pierre-Paul, and then he finished with what I would say was a sense of purpose on the linebacker Taylor. But I thought he had an excellent battle with Pierre-Paul, and on there were only three or four pass protection snaps where you really saw it. But I thought that, you know, one of the things that stood out to me, we know he's a good athlete, but I thought that his hand usage was really nuanced. I mean, he had a great sense of resetting his hands in pass protection. And that's something that's coached and has to be practiced. And I thought that, you know, he had a nice battle. There was one play where he got jacked up a little bit where Pierre-Paul got the better of him with the hand usage, but it was a good battle. Lawan's a good player. I mean, there's no issue with Taylor Lawan as your left tackle.
Who are maybe the best technicians with the kind of nuanced hand usage that you're talking about? And do you think that he can challenge to be in that?
Well, I think that's, you know, I don't want to just make guys up because I don't have someone in mind immediately, because that's a question that makes me think about all players in the league, sure, you know, particularly tackles. But I think that you can't be a great offensive lineman in the NFL without understanding and using your hands effectively, because there's too much speed and athleticism with pass rushers. I mean, Lawan is a really good athlete for left tackle, but still, when you get right down to it, the guys who are the great pass rushers are probably better athletes. They are better athletes. So you have to, you can't just win based on your athletic ability. You have to be able to understand where they line up, what that means for your pass set, because your pass set will be different based on whether a guy is wide or a little tighter to you, or, you know, where he lines up. You have to be able to understand how to use your hands, how quickly to use them. A lot of coaches don't want guys to use their hands right away because they tend to bend and lean when they do that. So I don't think you can be a great left tackle in this league without a good understanding of how to use your hands and how to reset your hands.
Greg Cosell of NFL Films, our weekly guest here on the Midday 180.
Another blocker we looked at in this game who I'm thinking you might not have as good a review about as for Kelly and Taylor Lewan was Jonnu Smith. What did you see from him in terms of getting out and starting things?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I didn't study him, you know, on each play, but there were a number of plays where I saw that a guy on defense made a play, and then I went back and looked, and I saw Smith didn't make the block that he was asked to make on that play. So, you know, I don't know if that's been an issue for him throughout camp. Obviously, he's getting more reps now, I'm sure, due to Delanie Walker being injured. But, you know, clearly, he's going to have to be able to block. You know, now Delanie Walker is going to be the starter, you know, assuming health. So, you know, this is an offense, and it'll be interesting, Paul, and I know you're out there on a pretty regular basis, and I know, Jonathan, you're doing the games, but, you know, the Rams last year were a high, high percentage 11 personnel team. You know, they played one tight end on a high percentage of their snaps. So I don't know what LaFleur has in mind for this group. If they're a high percentage 11 personnel team, then if Walker's healthy, he's going to get a majority of those snaps, and you won't see anywhere near the number of two tight end personnel packages that we saw under Mike Mularkey.
Greg, we've waited a few weeks to ask you about Julius Wormsley, but it seems right now that he would have a spot on this roster. He has spent time on the Dolphins active roster a couple of years ago for about a month. and he was on the Titans practice squad towards the end of last season. But when you see him, do you notice a player who's making a case to fill a role in Dean Pease's defense?
I could see that. I mean, he's had a lot of snaps at both one technique and three technique in both the base and the sub-nickel fronts. He had a really good bull rush against starting guard Ali Marpet late in the first quarter, and he's been getting in, you know, fairly early in games. I thought he showed some natural strength as a pass rusher. The question with him is whether he can become more as an inside pass rusher who then can play in sub fronts. I don't think he's shown up to this point, but he's a younger player who's developing. I don't think he showed enough as far as quickness as a pass rusher, but I think he's quick off the ball in the run game. I think he plays with good balance. He did show the ability to control and displace alignment in the run game. I think there's things to work with Wormsley. We'll see. I mean, obviously they gave him a lot of snaps this past week, so they clearly wanted to see him play, you know, through a game where he was going to get tired and still had to play.
Finally, Sharif Finch, consistent pass rush in the last two games. He's not the fastest pass rusher out there, but does he stand out to you at all?
He didn't stand out as much this week as he did the week before. The guy who I was real anxious to watch this week who got a lot of snaps was Aaron Wallace. And I don't know where he stands on the pecking order, but not only did he play on the ball as a pass rusher, but there were many snaps in which he played off the ball as basically an outside stacked backer. So I don't know if they see him, you know, in that role as we move forward, or whether, you know, he's even making the team. You know, those are things I don't know. But he clearly got a lot of snaps in multiple positions, both on the ball and off the ball.
How'd he look?
I thought he had some good snaps. You know, for instance, I thought he looked better rushing the quarterback this week than Landry did.
Greg, Harold Landry, he beat Brad Seaton, former Titan draft pick, for a holding penalty. He's shown glimpses of the talent that the Titans drafted him for, but you mentioned you liked Wallace better in the pass rush in this game than Landry. Where is there room for big development with Landry's game? Does he show signs of possessing a secondary pass rush option?
Well, that's what he needs to continue to work on. Right now, he's basically an upfield rusher looking to bend the edge and be flexible and get low, which he can do extremely well. The problem is, though, if you don't use your hands real well, the guys who just do that, unless they're getting off the ball so quickly and can simply beat a guy initially off the edge, you just get pushed past the quarterback because you're dealing with NFL tackles now. So he's clearly got great bend, great flexibility, good off-the-ball quickness. He needs to work on a wider array of moves, and I'm sure they're working on him with that. I mean, I think everybody knew that when he came out. That's not a surprise. But when a guy can bend like that with that kind of explosive flexibility, those guys are viewed as really good prospects.
To you, Greg, is Jayon Brown the starter next to Wesley Woodyard if Evans isn't healthy week one?
I don't know. And again, I'm not there every day, but you're getting into the base defense versus the sub-package defense. He'll play in the sub-packages. The question is, how will they feel about him in their base defense against teams that line up and run the ball out of base personnel? You know, how will they feel about him when they play Jacksonville? How will they feel about him, you know, against, you know, Houston, for instance, or even the Colts when they line up, you know, in multiple tight end sets or with a fullback on the field? That's the big question with Jayon Brown. He doesn't lack the desire to play with toughness and physicality, that he's just a smaller guy. So the question is, will they feel comfortable with him, you know, in those situations, or will they go with Compton, who, you know, ultimately has played. He started in this league, I think, a few years ago. He started 16 games in Washington, had over 100 tackles. So I imagine that's a work in progress.
Yeah, is it as big a no-brainer as I think the three of us think that if you're given a choice between Compton against the pass or Brown against the run, that you'd take the Brown side of that?
You mean to play Brown as...
Yeah,
well,
if you're going to have Brown on the field every down, would you rather take Jayon Brown against the run, which isn't his strength, or would you rather take Compton against the pass, which isn't his?
No. Well, I think that depends on your opponent, PK. I mean, if you're going to play a team that plays a lot of 11 personnel packages, you know, on first and 10 in normal down and distance situations, you'll want Brown on the field. Although, keep one thing in mind. Last year, Brown had a stretch where he was playing in the sub packages all the time when they were in this sub-package, and then last year's coaching staff felt that he must not have been good enough because as the year progressed, he only then played on third down. So, you know, this is a new coaching staff. Obviously, it's a different approach. But I think that will depend on the opponent.
Yeah, and I think Woodyard being great last year was a big factor in that, too. We'll see if he maintains it.
Greg, Andrew Luck said he was jittery, wasn't very good in the game on Monday night. What did you think of his play against the Ravens, and are there aspects of his mechanics that need work because of the long layoff?
Well, you know, I think when you're dealing with this, you just have to look at it in context. It was clearly an uneven performance. Luck knows that. I thought he was a beat slow in his progression reading. I thought his ball placement was a little erratic. There were times he was too quick to break down and leave the pocket. This is all normal stuff. You know, it was just nice to see him out there. He did make some good throws. We'll see. I assume he'll get more time this week. You know, they want him to be ready week one. So, you know, it's a work in progress. The guy hasn't played for a long, long time.
What are staples of the Frank Reich offense, and do you think that Luck will benefit from this new system?
Yeah, Frank Reich's been with a lot of really good quarterbacks. He's got a lot of different experiences with different offenses. You know, clearly the most recent experience he's had was with the Philadelphia Eagles, where they used a lot of two tight end sets, and I think that's something that he'll want to do if he can. They don't have a deep core of wide receivers, so I think the two tight end sets make perfect sense. But, you know, he's been with Peyton Manning. He's been with Phillip Rivers. You know, he was Jim Kelly's backup. You know, he's been around a lot of different systems and has a lot to draw upon based on the personnel that he puts out there.
Joe Flacco, I thought he looked sharp. Nice throw to Michael Crabtree, a touchdown pass to John Brown. He just looked smooth. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think that the Ravens are a team that is probably being overlooked because for many people, the narrative on Joe Flacco's already been written, so people don't even want to talk about it. But they've got a lot of talent on that team. I watched both sides of the ball in that game this past week, and boy, they have a lot of talent. If players play up to their ceiling, they're an interesting team. Their O-line could be very, very good. They'll be a fascinating team. I don't know who exactly. I think they opened with Buffalo at home, so, you know, I don't know what their whole schedule is, but early on, but they've got a lot of talent.
Looking now, you're right, they do open against Buffalo at home, and then they travel to Cincinnati, and then they host Denver to start. That's their first three.
Yeah, so, I mean, they could, you know, look, it's easy. Everybody does this, you know, they do when the schedule comes out and say, well, they could be 3-0. I mean, who knows, but I was kind of impressed with their O-line, and their D-line has a good mix of size and athleticism.
Lamar Jackson has his critics, but he also made a nice throw on that touchdown pass early in the second half. Are we seeing just the good and the bad of a quarterback developing right now?
I think, you know, when we talked about this leading up to the draft, that his accuracy is problematic. It's very erratic. He's inconsistent. And you have to balance that with his ability to make those outside of structure plays. Right now, his accuracy is nowhere near it needs to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. You can't miss open throws in the NFL. There's just not enough of them. It's not college football. So he's going to have to get much better throwing the football, and I like Lamar Jackson, as you guys know. I think he does have a chance to be a quality starter, but he's not close to being ready at this point.
Let's stay in that division and go to Pittsburgh next. Josh Dobbs getting a lot of reps this preseason as they rest Ben Roethlisberger. What have you seen from him so far this year?
Yeah, he's looked pretty good. I mean, he's made some throws that, to me, have been very impressive. I wasn't sure he could make some of those kinds of throws because I never saw him as being a big-armed guy coming out of Tennessee. You know, it'll be interesting. They obviously drafted Mason Rudolph in the third round, and he got the start last week. And you know, he's going through the typical rookie stuff. So, you know, he's in a battle because I don't know how they feel about Landry Jones. We know Ben's the starter. They're not keeping four quarterbacks. But, I mean, Dobbs wants to be the backup, not number three. And I think that's a battle going on right now. I guess you guys play Pittsburgh this weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ben's going to get some snaps. You know, he's coming off that concussion. He hasn't played yet in the preseason. I don't think they'll put him out there for a long time, but I would imagine they'd want to give him, you know, even if it's 10 snaps, just so he's in a football game. But and then after that, I don't know what their plan is, but, you know, they did draft Mason Rudolph in the third round. So normally when you do that, that's the guy you kind of want to win the job.
Greg, thank you as always, and we will talk with you next Wednesday.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, Greg.
Greg Cosell with us every Wednesday, year-round.
Fastest half hour in Nashville
always,
Sports Talk Radio.
Always. He's presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Make the right move by choosing Huffaker. Visit them online at THGTN.com or call 833-THG-NASH.